Hi.
Hey, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy How you doing?
Monday. Doing good.
Yeah.
Just like ran from my car straight to the seat, so catching my breath.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but you know, how was your day yesterday?
Dude, the day was great. I was really thankful to be here with everyone who could attend. You know, kicking off Holy Week. That's such an exciting thing. I'm really fortunate to just have that chance to do that with you guys. And just to dive into a little bit now with you, Lana.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good morning. I enjoyed the sermon a lot. Just so you know, some encouragement. It was really good. It was like very clear. And I thought that the point you made at the beginning was something that was worth noting about like the donkey being the little donkey colt that Jesus rode in on.
Mm-hmm.
That being a symbol of peace. Instead of like the big like war horse type thing, was a cool point to remember because, oh my gosh, I mean I'm a perfect example of it right now. I'm just running from my car into the house or into this chair and like, okay, you know, this isn't the rushing around I should be doing this week. I'm feeling convicted. Jesus came at like. Riding a symbol of peace into Jerusalem, but like more than that, that is who he is. It's just our peace.
Yeah, I really loved that as I was just doing a little bit more reading on it, getting ready for the message, was that the donkey really was this symbol of peace for them back then, that it's just something I don't think we associate at all today with donkeys.
Yeah.
And it was really cool too, because not only was it Jesus's ancestors were riding on the donkeys, but other princes as well that weren't even associated would literally ride on donkeys to show that, hey, I'm peaceful, this is me coming in a peaceful way, that I am again a royal but common person like you. And it was just really cool that other people would understood this meaning. But yet today, if I saw anyone, you know, ride by out that window on a donkey, I'd be like, what is going on? We'd probably all run over and look out the window and be so in awe of like, what is happening?
Why is rather there a than donkey like, in yeah. West Goshen?
Yeah, how'd it get here? Where's its owner, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. There's a lot of symbolism that happens in Palm Sunday in general. So it was like not just the donkey, but also the way that the people lined the path for Jesus coming in with the palms and with their coats and stuff. This wasn't like a spur of the moment random act of like everybody being like, we should just throw some palm leaves on the ground. It wasn't random. It was something that had happened many times before. A lot of times when like a king was coming back victorious, right?
Yeah, it was a sign of recognition for really reserved for kings, actually. It wasn't, again, something that was just done for any normal person, but this is a big deal, and I'm going to go and show this way in a peaceful manner. And even that's what the palm branches symbolized, too, was that it can be victory, and it can be gentleness. And it was just something that I was, again, so fascinated by, that just things that we don't really see today, as much as I would love. I'm a bit of a nerd, for those that don't know, and I know you kind of know that. I would love it if we all walked around wearing cloaks in 2024. I think that would look sick, but we don't do that, you know? But they did, and they were taking them off, laying this path ahead for Jesus, and it must have just been such a beautiful thing to see, to be a part of, and that's kind of what we celebrate all of these years later, this beginning of this Holy Week, Jesus's arrival to Jerusalem, and really the kicking off of these amazing events, which I know we're probably getting ahead of ourselves, but someone's going to be talking about, you know, on Good Friday. I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah, we have our Good Friday service this Friday evening that I'm running.
Two of them, right?
Young adults. Yeah, there's two services, so 6:30 and 8 o'clock we'll be talking about that. And you're right, the way that Palm Sunday happened set up this, like, wild contrast for Good Friday and what that was going to look like, because they went from welcoming Jesus as literally as a king, saying, you know, Hosanna, which means save now, like, and so they're recognizing that Jesus has some ability to save them. There's some awareness there of who he is. There's not like a full understanding, but they have some awareness that this is an important person and he is capable of saving us. the donkey probably confused them because they were expecting some like warlord to come in and flip the government over on its shoulders, and instead Jesus is like, no, like, I come in peace, you know, like,
yeah.
Which, yeah, and then you look forward to Good Friday, and you mentioned this yesterday, how the crowd turned, like what the crowd was yelling. We have this massive contrast in scripture. I'm sure that not everybody who was part of the laying palms down and laying cloaks down and welcoming Jesus in, I'm sure that not all of them were part of the crowd that was yelling, crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
But statistically, many of them probably would have had to be. Mm-hmm. So we went from celebrating his arrival to, no, crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we would rather have Barabbas come down and be saved. This guy who's murdered some of our people and been just, like, a reckless part of society. Bring him back. Yep. We're willing to take the risk with him. We'd rather have him than Jesus.
Yeah, we'd rather have this criminal, you know, be spared than Jesus. And yeah, even if it's not this, the fact that there was this giant crowd so excited on Palm Sunday, and then less than a week later, when again the governor Pilate is appealing, saying, like, trying to spare Jesus, there's no one stepping up. There's no one. Where is this loud crowd that was cheering and excited and running ahead, proclaiming that this king had arrived? Where did that crowd go? Why were they not there? And why did this crowd shift instead to just calling for, you know, Jesus to be crucified? And again, that's something that we also understand today, that, you know, crucifixion, obviously in death, but it really was one of the worst ways that you could die then, you know, calling for the worst way for this man that didn't deserve it, that was supposed to be their king. And instead they're all calling for the worst way to die for him. And so, like, I'm so excited for us to dive into that on Friday. I can't wait to hear that. And, you know, as long as we get a babysitter figured out, you know, it's going to be great. And then, you know, of course, Easter and that amazing message that we're going to have on Sunday at 9:30 and 11.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, one of them changed. 9:30 and 11. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really, we have to remember Sunday when we talk about Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Good Friday, yeah, like, without Jesus dying, there's no resurrection that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jesus died and stays dead, then nothing that we do matters.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
Like, that's really the hinge point of our faith is Sunday morning and the resurrection and the fact that he conquered death.
Mm, that victory.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think as we walk through this week, we have so many opportunities to bring people along and kind of just say, like, hey, this is a really important week to us. Here's why. Can I tell you why? You know, you mentioned your buddy who had the car problems yesterday, and that was more than just car problems. That was like, that was intense.
He
was going through.
And it was a cool thing to hear, because it was afterwards, a few people were just mentioning to me that, you know, they've been in that similar situation, or they knew someone that was going through, you know, a rough patch or things that were maybe not ideal or really just at that low. And how are we able to just point and look towards God and look towards Christ and remember that he is always there for us, that he always loves us? And even if we can't see what's going on and we're frustrated, we're mad, you know, we're running behind on something, you know, or we have some car accidents happen, that there is good that is happening, and that we have a good God that loves us. And we know that because of what happens on Good Friday and Easter, and it's for so many more reasons. But it's just something that's so beautiful about this week. And kind of like to circle back to what you're saying at the beginning, I'm just trying, as I'm someone that's always a go, go, go type of person, I'm really just trying to slow down a little this week and just be thankful, and just to share that with others. And I already found myself in the weirdest of ways having that opportunity yesterday. And I won't go into that long story, but it was really cool that we were out shopping around, and my wife and my sister were out shopping, and I just sat down, and there was another dad that sat down right next to me. And I was like, you're one of us too. And he's like, refugees. And he put his hand out to give me a fist bump. And I was just like, oh man, that's funny that you say that. I'm like, refugees, you know, And we kind of talked a little bit about just that Sunday morning together. You know, you never know when God's going to present you, or you're going to find yourself in a situation where you can just share about him and just point it all back to him.
That's true. I think I'm going to pull up real quick this 2 Timothy verse that you ended the message with yesterday, because it is kind of a creed, is what you were saying. And a creed is just... something many of us are familiar with, for example, like the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed, which many of us grew up saying in church. I know that you had a Catholic background growing up a little bit, so you probably are on some level a little familiar with it. But this is one of the kind of first
If we are faithless, then he is faithful, I think.
If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. And that comes from a slightly longer scripture that I think is just, I'll just maybe read it. And then it could just be like our kind of way that we wrap up. It says, this is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. And that last line of
Amen.
He cannot deny who he is, it goes back to, you know, the literal rocks would cry out him coming in. If the people weren't crying out, then the rocks were gonna do it for them, because the creation can't deny who he is. And and so Lord, help us to stay focused and shout about who he is this week and all the weeks and every chance we get.
Yeah, just how we can share and just pass that message on, that love of who Christ was. He came, he died for us, you know, even when nobody was there that was speaking up loud enough, you know, he still went to the cross for us. And then what we know happens on Easter. And so I'm so excited to celebrate that with you guys, for those online, for those that'll be able to join us in person. And, you know, of course, for Good Friday as well with you, and just another year that you'll be leading us in the chapel, you know. So slightly different setting, but it's a beautiful time. Great. Yeah.
It's going to be a party. Happy Holy Week, everybody.
Yeah. Have a good one. We'll see you guys.